Good to see you all. My message today is entitled Hallelujah in the Dark. Now I've heard there was a secret chord David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, major lift, baffled king composing, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Saturday after Trump won the election, Saturday Night Live opened with Kate McKinnon playing Hillary Clinton sitting at a piano singing that song. It wasn't funny in any way. It wasn't supposed to be. At times it wasn't even on key. But then again, life isn't always on key either. Somehow it was just what many of us needed. Yes, it was sad. It seemed to directly address the hurt and worry that many of us were feeling. And at the same time, it was hopeful. But my message today is mostly a sermon that I did about a year ago. I've had several requests to do it again. Some of you are here in the room. And after all the recent natural disasters, the mass murder in Las Vegas and the continued handling of our government, I thought today would be a pretty good day to repeat it. After all, while we do not seek out the dark places in life, they do happen. And making it through those dark times can help us trust that, well, that we're going to ultimately be okay. And not only that, it can make us stronger than we once were, or at least have more experience to draw on when the difficult times come around again. But the reality is, though, it's all well and good to understand the cycle of going into the dark times and ultimately coming out of them stronger for the experience. It's all well and good to understand that in the midst of the darkness, it can seem like God is missing. But in reality, God is actually always there with you. We can learn a lot from those realities, and we can have a better life when we understand them. But I can't help but feel like more needs to be said on the subject than that. Those dark places are difficult. Even Jesus found them difficult. Down on his knees in Gethsemane asking, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Or hanging on the cross calling out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The dark times of life are tough, and frequently, like Jesus, we do feel forsaken. It's oh so easy to get sucked up in the darkness, lost in it, and sort of set up camp there. To not bother to fight our way out. To instead lick our wounds and in our loneliness call out like King David did in the Psalms saying, why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? That's when a sort of a bunker mentality can set in where we shut down and shut people out. And that's when we get stuck there. King David, who is frequently noted as the author of many of the Psalms in the Jewish scripture, understood about dark places in life. He'd been there. I've already quoted from one of the Psalms today. It shows us that he knows how hopeless those dark places can seem. In it, he says, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. I am a worm. I'm not human, scorned by others, despised by all the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Yeah. David is saying those things in the book of Psalms. The word Psalms actually comes from the Greek word psalmoi, meaning songs sung to harp. In the text I quoted, David is composing in song all of his fears, his doubts, all of his frustrations, all of his laments, and in song is flinging them out to God. Songs sung to harp. Song I started with this message with Leonard Cohen's Alleluia. Well, it playfully suggests that there is a secret chord that pleases God. It would seem that King David believed this to be true. Many of the Psalms which are attributed to him are actually laments, songs full of grief and trouble. They were sort of his version of the blues. And he certainly had reason to sing the blues. Faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to a kitchen chair. She broke your throne. She cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. David had betrayed his troops, he had betrayed his nation, and ultimately he betrayed his God. Yet in the Psalms, he continues to sing hallelujah. It would seem that he manages to do it even in the darkest times. Hallelujah. The first half of the word halle means praise, and the second half, Yah, means God, as in Yahweh. Praise God. I just betrayed everything that matters to me. Praise God. I was just beaten, abused. Praise God. The person who I love left me. Praise God. How do you praise God in the dark? Say I took the name in vain. I don't even know the name. But even if I did, well, what's it to you? The blaze of light in every word, and it doesn't matter which you've heard. The holy or the broken, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter which you've heard, the holy or the broken, hallelujah. Why sing hallelujah in dark times? I mean, there's part of us that just wants to resist singing praises when we feel bad. We don't want to sing joyful when we're feeling the blues and in the dark. We want to wallow around in our sadness, if only for a little while. On top of all of that, we don't really want to sing a half-hearted hymn of praise. We've sort of been conditioned, at least, to believe that's not good enough. But is that true? Is a half-hearted psalm or even a psalm delivered in protest not good enough? Well, it's important not to miss the fact that even in the Psalms, as David shouts out his doubts and fears to God, to his higher power, it's important not to miss the fact that David shouts out his doubts and fears to God, even as he wonders out loud if God has forsaken. He wonders it to his higher power. And I think there may be at least a little bit of a secret there. As the verse I just sang says, it doesn't matter which you've heard, the holy or the broken, hallelujah. While David may have known a secret chord that pleased the Lord, it would seem that hallelujahs, praise songs to God, are just as much for the singer as they are for those listening. And maybe that's David's secret. It doesn't matter if it's a half-hearted hallelujah. All that matters is that you sing it. Because like David in the Psalms, if you learn to sing hallelujahs in the dark, even when you doubt God, even when you're in doubt of your higher power, you will be less likely to shut down and shut people out. Because even half-hearted, the song will remind you, well, that you're not alone. There are plenty of other reasons to sing in the darkness. As Bob Marley says, one good thing about music is when it hits you, you feel no pain. Or as Hans Christian Andersen said, where words fail, music speaks. David messed up. His and Bathsheba's first child dies. He is cursed to have rebellion within his own house. And, well, the story doesn't really get much better from that point on. Which brings us back to his Psalm of Lament. We don't know when the Psalms were written relative to David's life. In reality, we don't even know which ones might have been written by David, if any of them were at all. What we do know is that many of them, including the one that I have quoted here today, were written by someone who knew pain, knew the difficult places in life, knew the darkness, and frequently chose to reach out of the darkness in Psalms. And while the Psalm that I quoted begins in pain, my God, and in doubt, I cry by day, and you do not answer, and self-loathing, I'm a worm, I'm not human, it eventually concludes in praise. I will tell your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. We are David and David is us. We are all human, and in spite of our best intentions, even in spite of doing our best, we will mess things up and things will go wrong, out of control. We'll find ourselves in varying degrees of darkness. We will feel lost and alone at times, and sometimes numb. We'll want to wallow in it for a while, set up camp there, shut down and shut everything out. But like David does in the Psalms, I encourage us to learn to sing some hallelujahs in the dark. I did my best. Wasn't much. Couldn't feel, so I tried to touch, told the truth I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why sing hallelujah in the dark? Well, ultimately, it's one simple reason. And I'll borrow the answer from Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk, who once said, sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, and sometimes your smile is the source of your joy. Why sing hallelujah in the dark? Because sometimes your faith is the source of your hallelujah. And sometimes your hallelujah is the source of your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.